The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
My telephone number is 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483. You might think there is absolutely nothing happening down at the State House. The statewide media is not reporting anything other than the COVID-19 thing, but there are things happening. In fact, there is a great deal of activity today. And I have on the line Chris Long, the president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And Chris is intimately involved in some of the legislative happenings at the State House. And I'm delighted to welcome you, Chris, to give us an update. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Good afternoon, Bob. Good to be with you.
You as well. You as well. So you have emerged from your concrete bunker up in northern Ohio.
Well, that's right. You know, last week I had a conversation with the Senate President and the Speaker, and I said, you need to let folks know that the People's House is open for business. You guys are down here holding session, holding committees, and bills are moving, and we didn't get the memo. And if I've been doing this for 20 years, Bob, then they didn't very effectively communicate that. So, but because I have notices that come in by way of email when bills are moving, and lo and behold, here comes a bill that really threatens some really important legislation and curriculum in the schools that I know your listeners will want to hear about.
Absolutely. Well, and it's legislation that's near and dear to my heart, but even more so to you because of your involvement in getting it passed initially. So bring us up to date.
That's right. And in 2012, we passed what was called the Founding of American Documents Curriculum. And that was a bill that guaranteed that our young people would learn the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Northwest Ordinance, the Ohio Constitution in the Ohio classroom from the 8th to the 12th grade with an end-of-course exam requirement. And that landmark legislation passed both houses in 2012, was signed into law by Governor Kasich, and has been in operation ever since. In fact, we're seeing great progress in Ohio, in graduating seniors of having a better aptitude of how our government works. But here comes the Liberal Teachers Association. They are coming with House Bill 239. That's a bill in the Primary and Secondary Education Committee in the House. And we thought this bill was dead because they gave them some of it, the provisions of reduced testing in the budget last year. So we were stunned to see this thing moving, especially, Bob, in the era of the suspension of civil liberties that's going on with COVID-19 and what people so concerned about, their very basic fundamental rights. Here comes the legislature trying to reduce the constitutional studies in the classroom. We couldn't believe it.
Well, what is, Chris, this seems absolutely anti-American. It's hard to fathom that any American would oppose the teaching of American history, the important American documents. What is their message? Why are they trying to remove this important teaching from our schools?
Well, they do it by way of a little bite of the apple at a time. So let's go back a couple years ago. The Teachers Association did not like that our fourth and sixth grade students were having to be tested on social studies, which would be American government history for primary grade in the fourth and sixth grade. And they didn't do a standalone bill. We would have caught that. Oh, no. They put it in a budget bill as a line item issue, and we didn't even know it until after it was done. I was livid. I told members of both the House and Senate at the time, I'm saying, what are you doing? Some said, do you want us to take it out? But, of course, you know how difficult that is. Well, that piqued our radar in saying, you know what? They're going to come after the high school level. Well, here they come. they first, 2 years ago, came on the state school board with resolutions trying to eliminate the testing. See, here's the deal. You take away the end-of-course exam, you can kiss it goodbye. They won't have any obligation to teach it in the classroom. Oh, they'll tell you that they will. Oh, but they won't. And history says that they didn't. And that's why we passed this, back in 2012. And we're seeing progress. But, you know, we're seeing liberal teachers that are filling the classroom. And, they don't want these tests. They don't want to be held to an account. In fact, we're told that the Teachers Association Union wants to get rid of all testing requirements for teachers and students. That's their ultimate goal.
It's just, Chris, it is mind-blowing. It is absolutely mind-blowing. And I can't imagine the common folks here in Ohio, whether they're Republican or Democrat, independent, Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, I can't imagine that any average American would oppose, number one, the teaching of American history and the important documents that have made our country what it is, and secondly, the testing. So how in the world have they snuck this through, and do they have any support among the public?
Well, there's a couple of things that are going on. In recent years, of course, there was that there was too much testing for the students. We don't disagree with that. Well, they already took away some of the testing in math and science or duplicate tests that were being done. But we said, look, fundamentally, our students need to learn about our way of government, the Constitution, the
Sure.
Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, who we are as an American republic. And we'd like them to be tested on it to make sure that you're going to do it in all 88 school districts. Well, we did receive broad bipartisan support back in 2012, and we're able to convince, finally, enough legislators in the House and the Senate and a governor who said, you bet, I'm signing that into law. But see, here's the downside of term limits. They get turned over, and like half of the body that's there now wasn't even aware of what we did in 2012.
Right.
I have to educate them all over again.
Yeah.
So they hear from teachers, there's too much testing. And look, we're not saying that, we agree that some of the tests probably, well, fine, you want to reduce some of this, fine. But don't touch the founding American documents curriculum.
Sure.
Because that's fundamentally what needs to be taught. And so we're safeguarding it, but we need folks to make calls and emails to the committee and to their House members.
I talked to the Speaker of the House just a few days ago, the President of the Senate a few days before that. Are you getting any indication from either of these gentlemen whether they could in any way support this move to eliminate this kind of testing in our schools?
Well, the Speaker, I was able to just text him on a Saturday night, and he said he would look into it. The Senate President actually spoke to him. Interestingly enough, he was the chief sponsor of the bill that got passed in 2012.
Yeah.
He was a freshman senator at the time. He's now Senate President. And he said, well, look, on my watch, this isn't going to happen. But here's where it gets interesting. If he gets an appointment by President Trump, he's a constitutional attorney, there's a chance he could get a federal judgeship, or the governor appoints him to a judgeship, because he is termed out at this time. Well, he wouldn't be there in the Senate as a watchdog. And there are some Republican liberal members in the Senate who would do away with this testing requirement in American government history, unfortunately. So there's no guarantee. The price of liberty is eternal vigilance.
Yeah.
And here's what we'd like folks to do. Go to the website, the Ohio Christian Alliance, because we have the links there to the committee and information to give you more in-depth about this bill. And it's just go to Ohio Christian Alliance. Just Google that or go to ohioca.org.
Ohioca.org. Check it out. And be in touch with the representatives. Here's one thing that I have learned in talking with legislators over the last several years. Your comments, your input really does matter. It really does matter. They do listen and they do respond. So go to ohioca.org, check it out. and contact your representatives about this very, very important issue here in the state of Ohio. Chris, again, thank you for all you do. I appreciate it so much when you check in with us and let us know what's going on down at the State House. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Bob. My privilege. Thank you, my friend.
All right, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Go to ohioca.org. All right, Bob Burney Live will continue.
Today's news, God's Word, and your thoughts. This is Bob Burney Live.
Now, this is a fascinating article. It is a somewhat in-depth interview with a gentleman by the name of Ezekiel Emanuel. You probably don't recognize that name. You would probably recognize the name of his brother, Rahm Emanuel. He used to be the chief of staff for President Obama, former mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel. Well, his brother is Ezekiel Emanuel. He is a doctor, a medical ethicist. Easy for you to say. He is a doctor and a medical ethicist, and he was one of the major architects of Obamacare. Yes. Yeah. It's interesting how interrelated things are in Washington. I mean, under the Obama administration, under the Trump administration, there is just a lot of interrelatedness. So Rahm Emanuel was Obama's chief of staff. Ezekiel Emanuel, his brother, was one of the chief architects of that whole Obamacare fiasco. You remember that? Over 2,000 pages. And the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, the most powerful woman on planet Earth, said famously or infamously, we have to pass the bill before we know what's in the bill. That piece of legislation. Well, you might be interested to know that one of the chief architects of Obamacare, one of the individuals that Barack Obama depended on the most to put together this health care plan, is opposed to people living past the age of 75. When you get to the age of 75, you just need to die because you're not useful anymore. You can't do anything good. You're going to take away valuable resources from young people. So when you get to the age of 75, you just need to go off somewhere and die. In fact, in 2014, he penned an essay that was printed in The Atlantic called "Why I Hope to Die at 75. He is the chair of the University of Pennsylvania's Department of Medical Ethics and Health Policy. Now let that sink in. The chair of the University of Pennsylvania's Department of Medical Ethics and Health Policy believes that no one has any value from the age of 75 and older. A recent interview in MIT Technology Review reveals these strange and bizarre thoughts about Ezekiel Emanuel. Quote, Emmanuel vowed to refuse not only heroic medical interventions once he turned 75, but also antibiotics and vaccinations. His argument, older Americans live too long in a diminished state. Raising the question, as he put it, whether our consumption is worth our contribution. In other words, old people just suck the life out of the economy, out of the culture, and they just need to die. In the essay with the MIT Technology Review, they asked, it's been 5 years since you published the essay. Any second thoughts as you near the deadline? Because he's 62 now. He says, no, absolutely not. The world will exist fine if you happen to die. Great people, maybe even people greater than you like Newton, Shakespeare, they all died. He says, I often get from the people who want to dismiss me. You know, my Aunt Nellie, she was clear as a bell at 94, blah, blah, blah. But as I said in the article, these are outliers. There are not many people who continue to be active, engaged, and actually creative past 75. It's actually a very small number. And he goes on to make the argument that people age 75 and older are just worthless. The interviewer said, well, what's wrong with simply enjoying an extended life? And here's his answer. Listen to this. This is the guy who formulated Obamacare. These people who live a vigorous life to 70, 80, 90 years of age, when I look at those people and what they do, almost all of it is what I classify as play. It's not meaningful work. They're riding motorcycles. They're hiking, which can all have value. Don't get me wrong, but if it's the main thing in your life, well, that's not a meaningful life. So here's a guy, 80 years old, hiking, riding motorcycles, enjoying life. According to Dr. Ezekiel Emmanuel, that is not a meaningful life. And you just need to die. This is the guy that Barack Obama depended upon to take care of your health care. Here's the saddest part of the entire interview. He says, quote, I do fear death, but I think I fear being sort of decrepit and falling apart more. What a miserable life. What a miserable philosophy of life. At least some of the foundation of Obamacare was this philosophy. Life after 75 is just not worth living. Wow. All right, quick break, and we will return.